Up next, JX Assistant Producer Maddie Peterson offers a selection of short news features from around our region.
I'm Maddie Peterson. The FIFA World Cup is the globe's biggest sporting event, and this year it's coming to North America. Seattle will host 6 matches, and cities across the region will host fan zones and watch parties. Spokane Public Radio's Eliza Billingham reports.
Hundreds of soccer fans are crammed under the only covered section at One Spokane Stadium because it just started hailing. It's the Spokane Zephyrs' last game of the season. The women's club started in 2024 as the city's first top-tier professional sports team.
I love soccer, yeah. I love watching it.
Jennifer Richwood is one of the fans trying to stay dry.
I mean, I like the activity. I like watching the players and, like, you know, struggling to get the ball into the goal and everything. But if you're not really into soccer, you just have to go to a game with a good crowd and then you can people watch.
Plenty of Spokaneites are not really into soccer, which is why this isn't just the last game of the Zephyr season. The team is shutting down because it wasn't selling enough tickets. And that's not uncommon for soccer teams across the country. The most viewed sport is American football, and the biggest sporting event in the States is the Super Bowl, which the NFL says typically draws around 130 million viewers. FIFA says the World Cup draws billions of viewers. That makes it the globe's biggest sporting event, and while it's in North America, more U.S. fans might be paying attention. But if you're brand new to soccer, you might find it, well, a bit boring. A game might have only 1 or 2 goals. Zephyr head coach Nicole Lukic says it can be exciting to just watch for good touches. That's when a player expertly maneuvers the ball straight from the air onto the ground.
Maybe you as a person can go outside in your backyard and try to take the soccer ball down out of the air with it not bouncing away from you, and then maybe you'll have a deeper appreciation about what these players can do with their touches.
Zephyr midfielder Emma Jaskinik agrees that it's pretty simple to be casually entertained by the game.
Anybody can know if a goalkeeper makes a crazy save, like, how did they do that? Or a defender makes this crazy slide tackle, or this forward takes somebody on and beats 3 defenders.
Some might argue that soccer is inherently un-American. But in his new book, How to Watch Soccer Like a Genius, Bay Area journalist Nick Green pushes back on that stereotype.
Soccer is a very American sport, too. American football evolved from the very same games that soccer evolved from. It just happened to do so in a different timeline and a different path.
But if you're watching soccer for the first time, you may notice that something feels foreign about it.
Soccer is a game, and I mean this as a huge compliment, that can never be invented today. There's no stoppages except for halftime. The second the ball gets kicked, you have at least the minimum of 45 minutes of action.
But if soap operas are more your style, Zephyr forward Ginger Fontenot says soccer's got you covered there, too. And Jaskinik agrees.
It's the drama.
The drama.
It's like everybody plays soccer as a drama queen. Don't let them tell you different.
Green went so far as to talk to a philosopher about the ethics of diving. That is, dramatically faking an injury to get a foul called.
He was far more permissible towards it than I would have imagined, although he's a Real Madrid fan, so that might explain some of that. But if you look at diving as a piece of spontaneous choreography, you might start, if not to appreciate it or like it, understand its place in the game.
But no matter what, even young fans like 7-year-old Layton know there's always one moment that's better than every other.
I like to watch when they get goals.
Few moments are as satisfying as when the ball finds the back of the net. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
Every World Cup has featured a new soccer ball designed by Adidas that draws reactions from fans and players. Everything from disdain to admiration. A University of Puget Sound physics professor has studied each soccer ball's aerodynamics since 2010. KNKX reporter Freddie Manaris reports on how these changes can affect the game and what's different about this year's ball.
Sports physicist John Goff is at the University of Puget Sound soccer field in Tacoma. He's a visiting professor there, and he's rummaging through a trash bag filled with FIFA World Cup soccer balls.
Let's see, we've got Aurela that was in Qatar from 2022. And this is the current one. The Trionda.
Goff has studied how soccer balls move when they're kicked since the 2010 World Cup. He says that ball's surface was too smooth, making its movement unpredictable and hard for goalkeepers to track. Like with this point scored against Denmark by Japan.
What a strike from Kazuki Honda. That's probably the best free kick we've seen in the FIFA World Cup of 2010.
Goff says there wasn't that much spin or rotation on that kick. That, combined with the ball's smoothness, caused it to lose speed more than you'd expect.
And it dropped a little bit on the goalkeeper and who missed it.
During those games, players openly criticized the ball's design, including U.S. men's backup keeper Marcus Hahnemann. He retired from the Seattle Sounders in 2014.
That one was maybe one of the worst balls that I ever played with.
Players can kick a soccer ball in a particular way that makes it curve left or right in mid-flight. And when they try to do that,
sometimes it would go the opposite direction. It just defies physics.
The 2010 World Cup ball is perhaps the most universally panned. But there have been others people didn't love, such as the one used during the 2002 games that players said was too light. All this raises the question, why change the ball each World Cup? Why not just stick to one that works? Mike Waitola is the executive editor at Soccer America, an online publication that covers all things soccer, and he has a theory.
I think they basically want to ramp up the conversation about the ball because they're trying to sell it.
This year's official World Cup match ball goes for $170 on Adidas' website. That being said, Waitola can think of at least one big positive improvement to the World Cup ball that changed the game. That was during the 1986 matches. Adidas switched from leather to a synthetic material that didn't get heavy from absorbing water.
I think that was the kind of technology that did make a difference and, of course, made it safer since this is a sport where people, you know, head the ball.
Hahnemann, the retired keeper, says he does think Adidas is trying to make the game better.
I don't know if they do, but that's their idea, right? And, you know, they're trying to keep advancing the game.
Officials with Adidas say they changed the ball in part because as soccer evolves, they think the equipment should too. Solène Stormen helped design the ball for Adidas. She says it's also an important symbol for each tournament.
And for us, it's also important that every World Cup gets also seen in that way and that everyone carries an own individual story and an own individual signature to it.
Back at the soccer field in Tacoma, physics professor John Goff invited a few University of Puget Sound soccer players to test out this year's World Cup ball.
Yeah, that had a good little bit of backspin to help it.
Goff doesn't think this year's ball is going to be the fiasco the 2010 ball was. He says its surface is rougher than its predecessors, which could cause some minor drag.
My colleagues and I are very interested to see if this ball travels a little less far than the balls have in the past.
But generally, he says, it's a good, stable ball. In Tacoma, I'm Freddy Monades.
Tacoma is known for its glass art scene. Glass artists are crafting hand-stamped medallions ahead of the World Cup. They're hiding them around the area for spectators to search for. NWPB's Lauren Gallup reports.
You want to help me stamp into the hot glass? What do you think? Low five?
Yes! Nice. Oh, I like that!
Leah Morgan is helping one Tacoma family of four create some glass art. Anthony Remick walks the family through the process.
Safety sleeves, we're gonna throw on some safety glasses also real quick.
Give me your arm, buddy.
Why do I have to wear safety glasses on?
It's a great hands-on experience for the kids, and it's also part of a larger project to make 1,000 glass medallions. Those pieces will be hidden around the city when the World Cup comes to the U.S. Morgan and Remick are the Tacoma artists who were commissioned to make the pieces. Glass is a big deal in Tacoma. For Morgan, glass
feels like it's at like the heart, like the art community in the Northwest.
The artists are creating colorful, flat-stamped glass discs with a custom design. These medallions will be hidden at special places throughout the Pierce County area before each of the games. Morgan says they have been finding ways to get the community involved in the creative process.
It gives them an opportunity to have this experience with like hot glass and something that not many people get the chance to do.
Remick shows how it's done. First, he has to gather the glass from the hot furnace. He reaches into where the molten hot glass is melted.
We kind of just ladle it up on the pipe like so. And we get one little gather right there. We kind of let it cool down. We go for a double dip because we want a good mass of glass on there. Okay. It sounds like Star Wars, huh? Yeah,
then he heats the glass in the ovens.
Well, I'm just getting it like soupy hot, because we want it really like almost like liquid.
Remick dips the hot glass in something called frit. These are tiny pieces of glass that melt into the bigger piece and color it. Then he cuts the hot glass off the end of the pipe.
So I snip it. Yeah, it's green. This is really, really
he torches
hot.
It to get rid of the mark from trimming it. Then he drops it onto the metal table where the kids stamp the World Cup design into it.
We're going to line up and we're just going to press it right down and we're going to push, push, push. And you see how we're rolling it around. You go ahead, push.
Morgan designed the stamps. In the center, there's a soccer ball. Below the soccer ball is the word Tacoma in English, and above?
So it's the Puyallup tribe's word for Tacoma up here on top. So I've been practicing, but I can't guarantee that I'm doing it justice. But the word is Tal Echlali.
According to the Puyallup tribe, it translates to place of lake, a place name used for the city of Tacoma. Morgan says it was special for her to include the language of the Puyallup people on the medallions. The Puyallup tribe of Indians is the first indigenous sovereign nation to host World Cup events. Together at the table, Remick helps the kids stamp another piece.
Double power. Push, 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 push. I want to see your arms shaking. Arms shaking. And then we're going to spin it around a little bit, kind of give it a little wiggle, jiggle, wiggle, jiggle, and then we come right on up. Just like that.
Amazing.
And then don't touch though. Yeah.
These two have just joined dozens of Tacomans helping to get ready for the World Cup. Before I leave the studio, Morgan and Remick help me create a piece of glass art, too.
I'm amazed that the kids did this. This is harder than I thought it was going to be.
Give it a good push right now.
I
want to see your arms shaking. I want to see those arms shaking. Yeah. And then right on up. Just like that.
Nice. Oh, it's so cute.
In Tacoma, I'm Lauren Gallup.
More than 1,000 kids in the Seattle region will have the opportunity to catch a World Cup match at Lumen Field free of charge. KNKX's Freddie Menares reports.
There's more than a dozen kids kicking soccer balls inside a community space at the Health Board building. They're taking turns trying to dribble or maneuver the ball past one another. They're still buzzing with excitement about the announcement that Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson just made.
I am so proud to announce that our Youth Access Program will give over 1,400 tickets to young people and their caregivers from across our region so that they have the opportunity to attend FIFA World Cup matches right here in Seattle, free of charge.
FIFA World Cup tickets are going for hundreds to thousands of dollars each. So to make this happen, the city is partnering with the World Cup Local Organizing Committee and the corporate community. No tax dollars are being spent on this. 17-year-old Yasir Abdallah is a soccer player. He's hoping to get a ticket and maybe join his friends to watch a match.
And yeah, just giving them the chance to go, it's going to, you know, bring their passion into soccer. Maybe, who knows, maybe the kids who we bring to the World Cup, they might be in the next World Cup or the next in the future.
Ali Abdallah is a co-founder of African Youth Sports Academy, one of the community organizations tasked with choosing which kids will receive a free ticket.
I would love all of them to go on experience, but that's not going to happen. But even if we have two kids that goes there, that two kids will have the memories for the rest of their lives.
He's figuring out how to distribute the tickets, and one of his ideas is to have a friendly competition for them, whether that be kicking a soccer ball to reach a target or through soccer matches. In Seattle, I'm Freddie Monades.
I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR.